Fellow South Africans, I wish to address you this evening on two matters that are of great interest and concern to South Africans as we continue to struggle to overcome the coronavirus pandemic. The first issue I'd like to address is the reopening of schools, and the second has to do with the management of the resources that we have dedicated towards the fight against COVID-19. Since I last addressed the nation 11 days ago, more than 130,000 new coronavirus cases have been confirmed. As of this evening, the total number of confirmed cases now stands at 408,052. South Africa now has the fifth highest number of confirmed corona cases in the whole world and currently accounts for half of all the cases on our beloved continent, Africa. The coronavirus storm has indeed arrived, as we said it would, with the provinces of the Eastern Cape, Gauteng, and KwaZulu-Natal experiencing a rapid rise in infections. Even as the country braces for the difficult weeks ahead, it is significant that more than half of those people who we know to have been infected have now recovered. We have also seen a leveling off of infections in the Western Cape since the third week of June. Although it may be too early to tell, this development in the Western Cape provides some hope that the province may have passed the peak of infections. However, we need to remain cautious and vigilant and continue to follow strict prevention measures to avoid another rise in infections, as we often see in other countries. South Africa continues to have one of the lowest case fatality rates in the world, experiencing far fewer COVID-19 deaths than many countries with similar or even lower numbers of infections. Since the outbreak of the disease in South Africa, more than 6,000 people have succumbed to the virus, and we continue to mourn their departure from our country through death. It remains our utmost priority to ensure that we do everything possible to minimize the loss of life. We must do this, firstly, by taking practical steps to prevent the spread of the virus, and secondly, by ensuring that we implement correct clinical guidelines and have the health infrastructure capacity to care for all those people who need treatment. Since the beginning of May, we have been undertaking a gradual easing of lockdown restrictions. Most economic activity has returned. Some restrictions on the movement have been lifted, and schools and other educational institutions have resumed classes in a phased manner. In approaching the opening of schools, we have always said that the health as well as the well-being of learners and educators is critical. We have also said that it is vital that the development and progress of learners should not be impeded. A major and lasting disruption to learning would have a devastating impact on the prospects of an entire generation of young people. This has been one of our considerations. It was in balancing these imperatives that we adopted a cautious and phased return to schooling, beginning on the 8th of June with the return to school of learners in grades 7 and 12. On the 6th of July, learners from grades R, 6 and 11 also returned to school. Now, with the number of infections rising in several parts of the country, there have been calls from a number of quarters in our country for schools to be closed again. Over the last few days, the Department of Basic Education, led by Minister Motsekga, has met with more than 60 organizations representing parents, school governing bodies, principals and their organizations, educators and their organizations, independent schools, and civil society formations. It has also consulted with the Council of Education Ministers representing the provincial education departments across the country. These consultations provided important insights into the experiences of the different stakeholders in education, and these produced a broad range of divergent views. It is necessary to report that it was difficult to find consensus on the best approach, just as there are differing views among both international and local experts on the circumstances under which schools should be reopened. What everyone does agree on, though, is that the health, the academic, and social development of learners must remain our foremost concern. This is consistent with the advice of the World Health Organization, which argues for a balanced consideration of the educational needs of the child and trends in the development of the disease. Officials from the World Health Organization have also said that the best and safest way to reopen schools is in the context of low community transmission. Taking into account the views of the various stakeholders and expert bodies, Cabinet has decided today that all public schools should take a break for the next 4 weeks. Now, this has also been the experience in a number of other countries where schools have opened and have also had to close due to the circumstances that each country has had to confront. This means that schools will be closed from the 27th July and will reopen on the 24th of August. There are, however, some exceptions. Grade 12 learners and teachers will only take a 1 week break from now, returning to school on the 3rd of August. Grade 7 learners will take a 2 week break, returning to school on the 10th of August. Specific arrangements will be made for different categories of special schools. As a result of the disruptions caused by the pandemic, the current academic year will be extended beyond the end of 2020. The Minister of Basic Education will provide details on the management of the remainder of the school year. We have taken a deliberately cautious approach to keep schools closed during a period when the country is expected to experience its greatest increase in infections. Throughout this period, the National School Nutrition Program will continue to operate so that all learners or their parents can collect food directly from schools. I'm aware that this arrangement that I've just announced will disappoint many learners who want to be back at school and may cause inconvenience and difficulty for many families who need to make alternative childcare arrangements. We ask you to do this because we believe it is important to ensure that schools do not become sites of transmission at a time when infections are rising fast. I want to thank all our teachers and other staff at schools across the country who have been on the front line during this pandemic under great and difficult conditions. My fellow South Africans, the coronavirus pandemic continues to cause our economy great damage, threatening the viability of many businesses, leading to job losses, and badly affecting the income of those that can least afford it. That is why in April we announced a historic 500 billion rand social relief and economic support package to direct resources towards our coronavirus response and assist businesses, workers, the unemployed and households. The resources for this package came from the reprioritization of funds within the budget and through the mobilization of loans from funders. And this has been impacted by our very difficult fiscal position. These funders that we have had to source funding from include multilateral development banks who have heeded the call to support their member countries during this crisis, and this has been the case in many other countries around the world. We have received approvals for funding from the African Development Bank and the New Development Bank, and are in discussion with the International Monetary Fund. The 500 billion rand package that we announced has several parts and components and focuses on giving the greatest assistance to those in greatest need. Firstly, it redirects resources to fund the health response to coronavirus. This includes additional expenditure on personal protective equipment, community screening, increased testing capacity, additional beds in field hospitals, ventilators, medicine, and staffing. Secondly, it provides direct support to households and individuals for the relief of hunger and social distress. By the end of this month, an additional 15 billion rand will have been paid out to social grant recipients. Over 4.4 million people have now received the special COVID grant, which assists those who are unemployed and do not receive any form of support. So far, an amount of 2.2 billion has been paid out to these recipients. There were delays in paying this amount, which led to a lot of frustration across the country. But future payments will be made more quickly now that the necessary systems are now in place. As we announced, this grant will continue to be paid over the full six-month period. This special COVID-19 assistance, which is the 350 rand, has provided essential support to most vulnerable people in our country. Thirdly, the package provides the assistance to companies in distress and seeks to protect jobs by supporting workers' wages. For the months of April, May, and June, the UIF Special COVID-19 Benefit has paid out 34 billion rand, helping over 7.5 million workers and preventing retrenchments in a number of companies. This scheme has now been extended by another 6 weeks to the 15th of August 2020. We continue to provide assistance in the form of loans, grants, and debt restructuring to small businesses, including spaza shops and other informal businesses. Special assistance has also been provided to businesses in the tourism, sports and creative industries. To date, a total of $1.5 billion in support has been provided to all these businesses. In partnership with the banks, through the $200 billion loan guarantee scheme, financial support has been provided to more than 8,600 small and medium-sized companies to the value of 12 billion rand. The rules of the scheme have been adjusted to expand the eligibility criteria and increase uptake, making it a lot easier for businesses to access finance during this period. I am therefore confident that we will be seeing more companies making use of this facility going forward now that the rules have been adjusted. Over 70 billion rand in tax relief has also been provided to companies. I mention all these figures because they clearly illustrate that the various parts of the social and economic relief package are being implemented and that the much needed support is reaching its recipients. This is making a real difference in the lives of millions of people in our country, and it is providing vital support to thousands of companies in these very, very difficult times that we are going through. But what concerns me and what concerns all South Africans are those instances where funds are stolen, where they are misused, where goods that we have to procure are overpriced, where food parcels are diverted from needy households, where there is corruption and mismanagement of public funds. Increasingly, we're hearing allegations about the fraudulent UIF claims, overpricing of goods and services, violation of emergency procurement regulations, collusion between officials and service providers, abuse of food parcel distribution, and the creation of fake non-profit organizations to access relief funding. From the outset of our response to the pandemic, we have been quite clear that there should be no scope for corruption in the use of these public resources. More so than at any other time, corruption puts lives at risk, particularly at this time and in any other time, of course. We therefore put in place several preventative measures. National Treasury issued regulations to ensure that emergency procurement of supplies and services meet the constitutional requirements of fairness, transparency, competitiveness, and cost effectiveness. Regulations were put in place to prohibit unjustified price hikes and ensure availability of essential goods. Since the declaration of the national state of disaster, the Competition Commission has investigated well over 800 companies on excessive pricing. It has so far prosecuted or reached settlements with 28 companies, imposing penalties and fines of over 16 million rand. The Auditor General has also adopted special measures to safeguard funds committed to the fight against COVID-19. Special audits have been undertaken to detect and prevent misuse of these funds and to identify risks in the system. In addition to all these other measures, we have established in government a collaborative and coordinating center to strengthen the collective efforts among law enforcement agencies, so as to prevent, detect, investigate, and prosecute COVID-related corruption. This center brings together 9 state institutions, and these are the Financial Intelligence Center, the FIC, the Independent Police Investigative Directorate, IPID, the National Prosecuting Authority, NPA, the Hawks, Criminal Intelligence, and the South African Police Service Detective Service, the South African Revenue Service, SARS, and the Special Investigating Unit, the SIU, and the State Security Agency, SSA. With an operational hub at the FIC, this center is currently involved in investigating allegations of corruption in areas such as the distribution of food parcels, social relief grants, the procurement of personal protective equipment and other medical supplies, as well as UIF special COVID scheme. At least 36 cases are currently at various stages of investigation and prosecution. We are determined that every instance of alleged corruption must be thoroughly investigated, that those who are responsible for wrongdoing should be prosecuted, and that all money stolen or overpriced should be recovered. In order to speed up and strengthen the process of dealing with corruption, I have today signed a proclamation authorizing the Special Investigating Unit, the SIU, to immediately investigate any unlawful or improper conduct in the procurement of any goods, any works and services during or related to the national state of disaster in any state institution. This empowers the SIU to probe any allegation relating to the misuse of COVID-19 funds across all spheres of the state. If the SIU finds evidence of a criminal offense that has been committed, it is obliged and will be obliged to refer such evidence to the prosecuting authority. It is also empowered to institute civil proceedings for the recovery of any damages or losses incurred by the state. Now, to ensure that action is taken speedily, I will be getting interim reports on investigations every 6 weeks. The fight against the coronavirus pandemic is stretching our capabilities and resources to their limit. We are therefore determined that there should be no theft, no wastage, and no mismanagement of public funds. The consequences for those who break the law or bypass regulations will be very, very severe. The people of South Africa require nothing less than full accountability from those who've been elected and appointed to serve them. We commend those provincial governments and municipalities that have already started taking disciplinary action against officials accused of improper conduct and, where appropriate, have reported them to the law enforcement agencies. We are very pleased that this initiative is now underway. All the funds that we have committed must reach their intended recipients and must be put to their proper use. We will take steps to recover all funds that have been stolen or where goods have been overpriced. And it does not matter who has done so. The success of our fight against corruption depends on the involvement of all citizens and all parts of our society. In doing all this, we will also be working with various leaders in society and various social formations to strengthen our efforts to safeguard the precious resources that we need to overcome the disease and to protect our people from its damaging effects. As all South Africans work together to limit transmission and prepare for the peak of infections throughout the country, we are also looking towards the extraordinary measures that will be needed to rebuild our economy. We cannot wait until COVID-19 threat has passed, because the virus will continue to be part of our lives for some time to come. We need to work now on a social compact for economic recovery, growth, and transformation. As government, we are engaging with all social partners on a common economic recovery program that uses every means at our disposal to unlock growth and to create employment and to protect the jobs that we now have. We see a great deal of alignment across the various plans and proposals that have been put forward by various groups in society, and we are building a consensus on the practical measures that we will need to take now and in the coming months. And I will be addressing this matter in the weeks to come. Through working together, we have achieved much as a country in the last few months. We delayed the spread of the virus, saving many lives and giving ourselves time to improve our health response. We put in place the largest social and economic relief package in our history under severe constraints and have mitigated the worst impact of the pandemic. Across society, people have changed their behavior, observing social distancing, wearing masks, and observing hygienic practices. As a country, we have never before faced such a severe crisis or such an abrupt disruption to our lives. Under the most challenging conditions, our response as a nation has actually been quite remarkable. Even as we may have made some mistakes, we have shown an extraordinary capacity for innovation, for solidarity, and for collective action. We have mobilized the whole of society effort to combat this threat, and we have continued to adapt and improve our response. The next few weeks will put our resources and resolve to the test as never before. And I call on all South Africans to remain strong, to remain disciplined and focused, and above all, we should stay safe. I'm still convinced that we will overcome this pandemic. We will protect lives and livelihoods, and we will restore our people and our country to health. This week, we mourn the departure of Ubaba uAndrew uMlangeni isiThwalandwe, one of the last Rivonia trialist who contributed immensely to achieving the freedom that we have achieved. We pass our condolences to his family and to his friends, and indeed to the whole nation. We have declared that his funeral will be a Category 1 funeral, and the flags of our country will fly at half mast, respecting this giant that has just fallen. And we say to Baba uMlangeni, go in peace. May God bless South Africa, and I thank you all.